morning to each one. I want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I want to talk about something this morning that I need more of. I know we probably could all say we need more of, and yet Jesus told his disciples that they only need a very, very small speck of this to move mountains. So I'm not sure exactly how you look at that. I'd like to talk about faith this morning. Faith has different definitions. There's different ways that we use in the English language that we use the word faith. But in the dictionary, it said, faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. You know, even the atheist has faith. He has faith in his atheism, that there is no God. People put faith in governments. We put faith in money, in whatever. Use your imagination. There's lots of different things that we put our faith in. But in Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we put a lot of faith in something that we have never seen. We've never seen God or Jesus, and yet we know that he is there. He's real. He lives in our lives. Romans 8 qualifies that verse a little more. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. I like the way that John Payton described faith. John Payton went to the New Hebrides Islands to bring the gospel to the people there. And when he got there, he knew that there were cannibals there, but not only were they cannibals, but because they were, nobody trusted anybody else. Their lives were all in danger of each other because they were cannibals. And so John soon discovered that they didn't, in their language, they didn't have, there was no word for trust, belief, or faith. And so he was puzzling over this. One day he was sitting there in his office and trying to come up with a word for faith. And one of the native servants walked into the office there. And so he just leaned back in his chair and pulled his feet up off the floor. And he asked the man, what am I doing right now? And the man gave him a word that in his own language meant to lean your whole weight upon. So that's the word that John Payton used in translating the gospel. That's the word that he used for faith, to lean your whole weight upon. And I just had to think, that is so good. And that's what I need more of, to lean my whole weight upon Jesus. That's what he wants of us. And I think God gets so much glory when we do that, when we totally, completely trust in him for everything, each circumstance that we face. Let's read this morning from Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, I'll start reading at verse 5 down to verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in that selfsame hour. We don't have a lot of information on this centurion here. He was most likely a Roman officer. He had 100 soldiers under him. Although I did notice in Acts chapter 10, there's another centurion that it talks about. And then I looked on the map how far centurion in Acts 10, I can't remember his name right now, but it's only 30 miles from here where Jesus was at this time in Capernaum. And I thought, is that the same centurion? I don't know. Study that. Anyway, we don't know much about this man, and other than he was most likely a Roman officer, and he had 100 soldiers under him. Yet this man demonstrated humility and faith in Jesus that Jesus was amazed at it. He turned to the people there that were following him and mentioned it to him. He said, I have not seen so great a faith in all of Israel. And I just had to think, shame on those people. Those were God's people that he was talking about. Shame on them for not having as much faith as this Roman officer. But then I had to think, shame on us today if we are found without as much faith as some people that haven't heard the gospel like we have. We run into different situations all over the world and see people that have an incredible amount of faith, and yet they don't have the same privileges that we do here in America. Why is faith so vital in the Christian life? Why is it so important? Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. We can't do it. It says it's impossible. Another thing that faith is so vital to the Christian is we need it for a weapon of defense. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now, it takes faith to take on that shield of faith, I think. We're going through these Conqueror series right now on purity. I think that's a big thing here that we can – do we have faith that God can keep our hearts and our minds pure in this world that's so full of evil things? Do we have enough faith and belief in God that he can keep our minds pure? Faith is essential in prayer. James 1, verse 5 to 6 says, if any of you lack wisdom – let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So when we pray, do we pray in faith? We'll touch on that a little bit more later. It's also by faith in Jesus that we're justified. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I appreciated the devotions this morning that Dan gave about the end time. You know, do we place our faith in God that he can save us when it comes down to the end time? Have we placed our faith in God, and do we believe that he really will save us? Okay, what are some of the blessings of faith? What are some of the blessings that we have, that we enjoy in this life, because we have put our faith in God? John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." It's just an affirmation of what we heard, that he will be able to save us. It says, "Verily, verily." So it really is true. He uses that word two times in the beginning of the verse. We can be passed from death unto life by claiming these promises and believing in them and having faith in what God has promised to us. I had to think of George Mueller. He was a great man of faith, you know. I just doing a little bit of reading on him yesterday. He had this orphanage, and during the time that he was there, there was something like 10,000 orphans passed through that orphanage. And the whole time that he was there, he completely based he didn't go out and advertise what his needs were. He simply prayed to God, and God answered those prayers. And to me, that takes a lot of faith. Feeding all those hungry children, having food there for them, and all the things that they needed, the clothing. Yet George Mueller was willing to place his faith in God for all those needs that came up from day to day. But then there was also another little story that I'd never heard, and I'd like to just share it this morning, and it's maybe a little different than what we're used to, but I want to bring out a different point out of than what the story actually says. It says, the Mueller set off for the United States in August of 1877 aboard the Sardinian. Off Newfoundland, the weather turned cold and the ship's progress was slowed by fog. The captain, who was actually a Christian, had been at the bridge for 24 hours straight when something happened which would revolutionize his life. George Mueller appeared on the bridge. "Captain, I've come to tell you that I must be in Quebec by Saturday afternoon." "Well, that's impossible," said the captain. "Very well," said Mueller. "If your ship can't take me, God will find some other way. I've never broken an engagement in 52 years. Let's go down to the chart room and pray." Mr. Mueller said to the captain, "Do you know how dense this fog is?" "No, my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." Mueller then knelt down and prayed, a very simple prayer. When he finished, the captain was about to pray, but Mueller put his hand on the man's shoulder and told him not to. "First, you don't believe he will, and second, I believe that he already has. There's no need whatever for you to pray about it." The captain looked at Mueller in amazement. "Captain," he continued, "I have known my Lord for 52 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, open the door, and you will find the fog is gone." The captain walked across the door, opened it, and the fog was gone. Now, that's an amazing story, and Mueller had a lot of faith. But I think that we have to use some common sense there. God will hear our prayers if we pray out of a pure heart, a clean heart. And we also need to pray God's will. So obviously it was God's will that George Mueller was in Quebec on Saturday afternoon. And somehow he must have known that. It was a very important meeting that he had. So for us to pray for things that are not God's will would be foolishness. We can have all the faith in the world that a quarter inch of ice is going to hold us when we walk on it. And we can have works to prove it. We can walk out on the ice, but if that ice is only a quarter inch thick, it's not going to hold us. We'll fall down through. So when we pray in faith, we need to, at the same time, be in God's will and have a pure heart. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." That's how we get this faith, by hearing the word of God. And I can't remember the exact number. I think it was 241 or 341 times that faith is mentioned in the Bible. It's just sprinkled all throughout the Bible, this faith that we need to have in Jesus. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So to get faith, get into the Word, read it, study it, and it will definitely increase your faith. Our faith is like a muscle. If you don't use it, if you don't exercise it, it becomes weak and feeble. When our son Marcus was about 3 years old, he broke his leg, he broke his femur. And so they put him in a cast from his chest down to his toes on his right leg and down just above the knee on his left leg. And there he was for 9 weeks. He couldn't walk. Actually, about the last week or so, he learned how to walk in it. But his left leg would lay there, and he would kick that left leg and kick and kick and kick. And he exercised it, but the right leg he couldn't. It was totally motionless. It couldn't move anywhere. So after 9 weeks of that, when the doctor cut his cast off, I was amazed at what his right leg looked like. I thought, he'll never walk on this thing again. It was shriveled up and scrawny and quite feeble looking. But you know, he started exercising that and moving it around. And the more he exercised, the more strength it got. And today you would never know that leg was so small and shriveled up. Our faith is the same way, I think. The more we exercise it, the more we use it and allow God to use it, the more it is strengthened. I guess my encouragement here is exercise our faith this week. How do we do that? How do we exercise our faith and like we do our muscle? Sometimes that can be a little bit scary. We can pray for a lost soul. You know, we know that that's God's will, that every man is saved. But if our prayer isn't answered, then what's wrong? Is it because our faith is weak? Or is God teaching us something else? We can pray for God to increase our faith, but look out. He might do it in a way that will stretch you much further than what you want to be stretched. When an athlete works out his muscles, he stretches until it hurts. You know, you've heard the saying, no pain, no gain. Well, the way those muscles are stretched, they actually have to tear a little bit so that they can get built up. Sometimes our faith needs a lot of stretching, and sometimes it's a little painful. So watch out when you pray, you know, for the Lord to strengthen your faith. He might do it in a way that is, it can be painful. I'd like to read yet from, actually, the whole chapter of Hebrews 11. I was just so encouraged by those people again when I read that yesterday, how they did these things. They leaned their whole weight upon Jesus. Faith was very vital to their Christian life. They pleased God with their faith. They received a blessing, many blessings, because of the faith that they put in God. They proved their faith by their works, like it says in James, and they exercised their faith. Let's just read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath promised for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, and being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should be made perfect. I just read that and look at that and think, you know, we have no excuse. We have it so nice here. We have no excuse for not putting our faith in God. And I'm talking to myself here because even in studying about faith, my faith is weak at times. And I have to learn to put my trust in the Lord better than what I do. And that's my desire. Okay, I'll just leave it open here for a minute or two if someone has a